Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, how we doing on this fine Tuesday in New York City? Evan and Tiki on The Fan. There's a ton to get to. Sean Morash is convinced Juan Soto's a lock to return with the New York Yankees. He'll explain why later. The return of Posted and Toasted at 4:30 today. And I do have a major, major concern about one of the strategies the Mets have during this offseason. But last night, after the Nets were getting their ass kicked and the Rangers embarrassed themselves against the Devils, I, like most Americans, was watching Monday Night Football. And I saw our future Jet and Giant fans. That quarterback matchup last night was exactly what we're going to have a year from now.
Wait, you mean Jameis Winston's coming to one of our teams?
Well, yes, my team. And I'll start with that. Jameis Winston, as a bridge quarterback, is perfect.
He's so fascinating.
He's fascinating and he's fun. And one thing I'm sick and tired of as a football fan is being bored to tears on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you'll be entertained.
Jameis Winston would entertain me as a New York Jet fan. So, yes, I'll be specific. The Jets are going to have a bridge quarterback next year. It could be Tyrod Taylor. It could be somebody else we're not thinking about. I would like to publicly endorse Jameis Winston.
Right.
Because even for the 497 yards he'll throw for and the multiple pick sixes and the crazy quotes after games, I'm for that. Because isn't that better than the garbage we've watched over the last decade?
No, it's better than boring and being not entertained. You could lose, but can you braveheart it? Are you not entertained? Is that Braveheart? No, that's Gladiator. Gladiator. Are you not entertained?
You're
entertained by Jameis Winston.
No question.
Because you just know it's going to happen. I was watching that game. I'm like, there's a pick six coming.
No doubt.
Or at least an interception. And obviously it turns into a massive pick six after nobody decides to touch down the DB after he landed on his back and just gets up and runs into the end zone. But that's Jameis.
That's Jameis. And look, ideally I would have a franchise quarterback, but I think the Jets are headed towards an offseason which they're not going to find their franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go with another Aaron Rodgers-like Band-Aid, so get Kirk Cousins' name out your mouth. It's not going to be him.
You don't think he'll be bad enough to get high enough in the draft?
I actually don't. I don't think the Jets are going to lose enough to be picking in the top two or three. I think they're going to accidentally win a game or two. Plus, they already have an extra win over a team like the Giants, over a team like Jacksonville. So I don't even think they're drafting their quarterback. And I think whoever is running this new administration is probably going to take its time finding its franchise quarterback. So I think it's likely that the Jets are going bridge. And that bridge could be Jameis Winston. On the Giants side of things, there is nothing more locky, if you will, no pun intended, than the fact that the New York Giants are drafting a quarterback at the top of this draft. Now, I don't know if they're going to pick number one or number two. It certainly feels that way with the losses piling up. But you're going to have your own Bo Nix. There's no doubt in my mind. You will have the young quarterback that on a weekly basis we're going to try to evaluate and figure out and rip apart a little bit. And the Jets are going to suck with a bridge. We saw last night the future of the New York quarterback position.
Well, it'll be interesting if we get a Drew Lock type, because I don't think a lot of people were high on Drew Lock. I wasn't. I didn't think he had the, I don't know.
You mean Bo Nix.
I mean Bo Nix, yeah. Not Drew Lock. You said Drew.
I apologize.
You said Lock or something. Whatever.
I said it's a lock. They'll take a quarterback, right. And it gets very confusing.
But the Bo Nixes of the world.
Yes.
It's funny because watching that game last night and now watching Bo Nix essentially not jump over, but jump right next to Jaden Daniels in the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation, it makes me realize how important it is to have a coach, either that's a coordinator or a quarterback coach, who knows what the hell he's doing
sure.
with a young quarterback. Because think about the Josh Allen of the world. When he came into the league, nobody believed that he was going to be as good as he is, an MVP candidate each and every year as he is this year. But Brian Daboll and that offensive staff, they got him there. Bo Nix, I thought he was flawed. Didn't have a ton of starts, you know, had a ton of starts in college, but never looked like he was that guy. And look at him now. Sean Payton is that QB guru, right? If you don't have that guy with a young quarterback, it's like the young quarterback doesn't have a chance. I feel like the Giants do. So whoever they draft at quarterback, I kind of feel like I'll take the Bo Nix experiment, right? Even if it's bad at moments, but there's going to be points where you say, this is why we drafted this kid. Well, now, it wasn't perfect last night, obviously.
No,
a couple of interceptions.
But remember, that was the first, and I mentioned this when we were making our picks late in yesterday's show, and you're welcome for that backdoor cover that was pulled off on the Jameis Winston pick six. But Bo Nix and the Broncos had gone, I think, four straight weeks without turning the ball over.
Yep.
So they actually had done a very good job, Bo Nix specifically, at protecting the football. That was a little different last night because they got a little sloppy. They were able to overcome it because Winston was a little bit more sloppier. But you are seeing Bo Nix emerge after being the 12th overall pick as right now the second best quarterback in this draft, and he's challenging Jaden Daniels as maybe being the number one guy.
No, he definitely is, and that's all you want. I mean, I don't know where the Denver Broncos are going to finish this year. They're in the playoff conversation at 8-5. They're probably going to make the playoffs, but it almost doesn't even matter. It's because they have their quarterback to build upon in the subsequent years.
Right.
That's all you want. That's all we've been waiting for. I think both of our teams are waiting for that. The Jets, you're probably right, because they're going to win too much, aren't going to be able to draft this year. Maybe they will. We'll see. But the bridge is not exciting to me.
The bridge sucks, bro. I'll be the first to tell you.
What you're saying that's going to happen for the Jets is not something I would champion.
Well, no, honestly, it's what you guys have experienced, especially this year. The Giants had a bridge quarterback this year. It wasn't sold the same way because you didn't just add some veteran off the streets.
True.
Your bridge quarterback was Daniel Jones. We all kind of knew that going into a season, and I agree with you. It's one of the worst feelings as a football fan, which is why Jameis Winston would be my choice as my bridge, because while I'm bridging it until the future, I'd like to be entertained.
At least you'll be entertained.
Right, and Jameis Winston does that. Look, you mentioned Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and what they've accomplished in their first season. I think one thing that's attached to both guys, and this is where you cross your fingers on Brian Daboll, and this is where if Brian Daboll is given a new life and he returns next year, this is where we find out what he's made of. You could take the coach of the year, you put it on the side. You could take the last 2 years, put it on the side. Can you hold the hand of a young quarterback and develop them? Because right now in Washington, Jaden Daniels isn't just a great talent. He is surrounded by really good coaching.
Yes.
Cliff Kingsbury is a really good offensive mind. We'll see what he can do as a head coach when he gets a second opportunity. But right now, he's been perfect next to Jaden Daniels. And Sean Payton, we all know this full well. We all know what Sean Payton's capable of doing. Sean Morath named his daughter after him.
Best play caller in Giants history.
So we know what he's capable of, and that's the thing. I don't know who the Giants are drafting. Here's what I do know. They're drafting a young quarterback. And it's on Brian Daboll to be Cliff Kingsbury. It's on Brian Daboll to be Sean Payton and develop that guy into the answer. Otherwise, you set your franchise back multiple years.
Right. Well, luckily, Brian Daboll just has to be Brian Daboll because he already did this with Josh Allen.
But he hasn't done it here yet.
He hasn't done it here yet, obviously. But he hasn't had the moldable piece of clay to do it with. Now, he kind of did it with Daniel Jones in his first season in 2022 when he had a good season. I'm not saying it was great because he didn't throw for 30 touchdowns, but he had a good season and got him into the playoffs. But you could tell once Daniel got hurt early in 2023, it was never going to be the same. Even trying to come back this year, it never felt the same. You saw it on Hard Knocks. You saw that in their minds they had already moved past him, but as you mentioned, he was their bridge
right.
for this season. And ultimately, when the went the pot, you moved on from him. But I trust that Dabes is that guy. I do. And it's why I don't want him fired. because the last thing I want to do this offseason in a very constricted time frame, probably 2 months, is find the guy that can be the quarterback whisperer as well. Right. Obviously, it's one thing to be the head coach, but then you got to find the guy who also can develop a young quarterback.
Right, right.
At least you feel like with Dave's, you have that part of it, the developing the quarterback side of it. He has a history of doing that. The head coaching stuff, I mean, that's wins and losses, right? He's got to figure out how to win. You can deal with that for a short amount of time, but it's developing the quarterback that you can't get wrong, because that's what sets you back.
No question. No question. There is no big mortal lock in the NFL, or specifically locally, than the fact that the New York Giants are drafting a quarterback in the first round. We sat here about 5 months ago, and we did a long-term prediction. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the quarterback in 2025? And I can tell you a few of us have already been eliminated. Tiki Barber predicted Daniel Jones. I'm pretty sure they're not bringing him back.
Yeah, maybe he gets rehabilitated in Minnesota and comes back as a free agent next year.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
My prediction was Dak Prescott. I doubt that's going to happen. Since then, Dak got a contract extension. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I guess the Dallas Cowboys could part ways. I forgot who you picked, Sean. Do you remember who you picked?
I don't. And if it wasn't a rookie, then somebody slapped me in the head because I was way wrong.
He picked Hendon Hooker.
Hendon Hooker. Good call.
Hooker.
I guess that's still possible.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he's backup.
Yeah. It's not going to be Hendon Hooker. And Tommy Lugauer's pick to...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Surprise of nobody was Tommy DeVito.
What am I, Marat?
At least you still have a chance.
I'm the favorite.
Well, you have a chance.
I mean, you're the only one that has a shot.
The only chance, though, Tommy has is if whomever they draft, they want to sit for a few weeks. Mm. Like Eli Manning sat for the first few weeks. Like Daniel Jones sat for the first few weeks. Like a lot of young quarterbacks sit. That's your only shot.
Well, the only way that happens is if Tommy DeVito, and have we heard if he's starting against the Saints?
We'll know tomorrow.
We'll know tomorrow when they don't go until Wednesday. But if the only way that happens is if Tommy DeVito gets reinserted as the starting quarterback and looks really good the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks of the season.
Right, right.
That's the only way that
happens. Or they want to go real cheap at backup quarterback, and they're like, screw it, we'll just bring Tommy DeVito back.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
$900,000.
If he can win some games, and not saying that you want to win games right now because you want the draft pick, but just say, if he's a quarterback who, as a backup, that can win some games, absolutely you go cheap with the backup quarterback.
Absolutely.
We saw it last year. He can win games, but he's got to do it again.
He would be a temp bridge, like a bridge for a few weeks until whichever young quarterback is drafted. But there is no bigger mortal lock than the Giants are drafting a quarterback in the first round of the upcoming 2025 NFL draft. The Jets thing is so different because, they could lose every game. Aaron Rodgers said earlier today with Pat McAfee, he wants to play all 17 games. And I'm starting to believe that's going to happen. Like, I'm starting to believe that they're not going to pull him. As we talked about yesterday, what's the point of pulling him? To play Tyrod Taylor? So, Aaron Rodgers is going to play. And the Jets have come very, very close to winning a game here or there. They're going to win a few games. And by the way, even if they don't, and they end up kind of sticking in this, picking in the fifth or sixth spot, I still don't think they're going to take a quarterback. Like, I think the Jets are positioning themselves with a brand new head coach and a brand new general manager. And I don't want to use the word tank because I'm not convinced organizations actually do it. But I would say that next year is a reset year. That'll be the term I use to kind of couch the tanking because I don't think franchises like saying that. It's a reset year. And when you have a reset year, kind of like the year where Josh McCown was the quarterback and they were waiting on the suck for Sam year and they ended up drafting Sam Darnold, that's the year we're looking at.
And if that's the case, we're going to see a bridge quarterback. And I'll tell you, last night, my bridge is Jameis Winston. Because not only does he deliver hilarious things before games and after games,
I just wish
he's fun.
I just wish he would win more. Because if
wow, but if you're doing a reset year, Teak, you may not want to win that much.
That's a good point, but he's so close to being a really good quarterback, and it's always the pick sixes.
Well, always.
He basically feels like Tommy DeVito if Tommy DeVito loved God more. That's what it feels like with Jameis Winston. Winning a bunch of these games, a lot of flair.
But you know what's funny about Jameis Winston, and this is probably the thing I'm going to say in August of next year after the Jets sign him. So the Jets have a brand new administration.
You think he's signing?
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance. Yeah. Jameis Winston's contract status is crazy. Like, he signed a deal that can be voided at the end of the year. I think it's going to be voided. He's making no money.
Yeah.
In fact, he's only making $1 million this year. He's making a fifth of Drew Lock. Mm. Think about that for a second. But you know what I would probably...
And he has the ability to throw for 500 yards.
Yes!
Drew Lock does not.
No kidding. This is a guy that once had a season in which he led the league in passing yards. He threw for 5,000 yards one year.
Yeah.
But if the Jets ever brought in a Jameis Winston quarterback, and I don't mean type, I mean Jameis Winston.
Like himself.
Not someone like him.
Right.
Him. Here's exactly what I would say in August during this reset year. You know what? He's only 30 years old. He's had some success in this league. Guy threw 33 touchdown passes in a season. Has any Jet quarterback actually done that? Hmm. I could see myself watching Jameis Winston and convincing myself, well, he's got Garrett Wilson. He's got Devontae Adams on a rework deal. He's got Breece Hall. He's got the right coach, whoever the hell that is. Like, I could totally see myself in a reset year believing, you know what? I'm going to turn Jameis Winston into a winning quarterback. I could see that, and maybe that's just me preparing for what I'm going to say in August of 2025 with my season tickets.
Right. The challenge with that is that you got to have a great play caller with Jameis Winston, because if you leave it up to him to make the decision, put that in quotes, he's going to make poor ones.
Right.
And we saw that last night. It was just like, you don't throw that ball. Like you're not going to get it there. And so you have to make it easy for him to make the right decision.
I'd very quickly, I'm writing this down, December 3rd, 2025, 2:16 p.m. We are resetting. We are now predicting the starting quarterback for the New York Giants and the New York Jets week 1, 2025. Mm. I will start. You want me to start it off? Take the pressure off you guys?
Sure.
For the New York Giants, your starting quarterback will be Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Ward.
Yeah.
For the New York Jets, the starting quarterback will be Jameis Winston.
You're really in on Jameis.
I'm all in. Tiki Barber.
The Giants starting quarterback in 2025, week one, Tommy DeVito. The Jets starting quarterback, 2025, Tyrod Taylor.
That is such a, you know what? That is so lame.
He's under contract. Why make it more complicated? Boy,
that is Tiki chalking it up right there.
I'm going to pick
the two guys that are currently there. But you know what?
What is that? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Hey, if you're right, you're right. When we reveal this on the August 29th edition of Evan and Tiki 2025, I think that's a Friday, by the way, if you're keeping track. I'm a Thursday, actually. Mets play the Marlins that night at Citi Field. Everybody will be off but me, so I'll be revealing.
How the hell do you know that?
I know weird stuff, Teak. I know weird stuff.
I'm a loser.
It's also my wedding anniversary, so I know a bunch of things. Sean Morash. Actually, you know what? I'm going to save you for last. Tommy Lugauer.
The Giants starting quarterback in 2025 week one is Thomas Calogero DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets starting quarterback in 2025 week one is Aaron Rodgers.
Don't stop it.
Aaron Rodgers.
The trilogy.
Aaron still there.
You know what? Even though he's on the roster, I give you credit for that one. That's outside the box. That's outside the box. That's not chalky like Tiki Barber. I give you credit for that. Sean Morash.
The Jets starting quarterback week one will be Justin Fields.
Okay. I like that one. Mm.
Okay. The Giants week one starting quarterback will be Kirk Cousins.
What?
Kirk Cousins.
I believe. Hear me out.
Ugh.
Have you
watched him the last few weeks?
Do you want that?
Ugh.
Am I allowed to speak?
I think four nasty interceptions.
Did I say that's what I wanted?
No, but...
Can you let Tiki throw up in his mouth before you continue?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Thank you. Just swallow that.
I believe... I'm not sure if Shane and Dable ultimately would be here next year, but I do believe they are going to take either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, of which I don't know. But I believe the big sell Two, John Mara is going to be, we're going to handle this the same way we handled Eli. We're going to find the closest thing available to Kurt Warner, a crappy version of Kirk Cousins, and we're going to start him until we feel the time is now to transition. It could be 4 weeks, could be five weeks, could be 2 weeks. And they will have Cousins for a year, handing it over to the rookie at some point next year.
All right.
I don't think he starts week one.
Well thought out, Sean. Yeah. Touche, touche. We'll get to your calls next. As I'm sitting there watching that football game last night, I saw our future. You guys are going to have your young quarterback to analyze every week, Giant fans. I'm going to have some kind of bridge. 888-808-1019. Plus, Sean Morash, and I think you co-signed this, Tiki, a couple of weeks ago in defending Brian Daboll, said, but guys, he really liked Jaden Daniels. That's a positive kind of attribute of Brian Daboll, remember Hard Knocks. Well, when we come back, I'll ask the guys a very similar question. Do you hold it against Brian Daboll then that they didn't draft Bo Nix and they passed on him? We'll get their answers. We'll get to your calls. You tell me, Tiki, who I should give credit for this. Last night during the Monday night game between Denver and Cleveland, Bo Nix was trying a hard count to try to draw the Cleveland Browns offsides. And he said something very, very funny that was picked up on the microphones. I don't know if we should give the rookie credit or we should give Sean Payton credit, because you obviously work with Sean and you know his sense of humor. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed it last night, Bo Nix's attempt to get the Cleveland Browns offsides by just, asking nicely.
That was the right idea on the call.
You can hear him say, jump offside at the end of that.
Offense number 10.
Now, is that Bo Nix having a sense of humor, or is that Sean Payton telling him to try that?
That's Bo Nix or Sean Payton, one of them, miming Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston did the same thing.
Oh, did he really?
2 weeks ago.
Oh.
He was up at the line of scrimmage, and he was trying to get him to jump offside. He's like, damn, man, somebody jump. What'd you
That's true. I apologize. I wish.
So it's a mimic of what Jameis did a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. You know what? I should have known that was a Jameis Winston thing.
Of course, it's a Jameis Winston thing.
That's another reason why I want this guy on my team. See, Jet fans, we just need to be entertained on Sundays.
He really is hilarious.
A bunch of pick sixes, 500 yards, and begging people to jump off sides.
I mean, when he was his last year in Tampa, I think that was the year he threw for 5,000 yards.
Right.
Because he led the league in
interceptions.
Yards, but he led the league in touchdowns and led the league in interceptions.
Yeah. At 5,000 of each.
Yeah, like 5,000 yards. He had 33 touchdowns, which led the league, and then 30 interceptions.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to get paid. They were like, yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, they replaced him is what they decided to do. Here's Jameis Winston after the game last night saying something very prophetic.
I am a better player, you know, but in times like this, you know, it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like that's not me. Like a phenomenal game, offense, do some great things.
Yeah.
But I messed it up.
Would you rather have the smugness of Aaron Rodgers or that?
I mean, I'll take that. Because you almost just kind of forgive him. You're like, dude.
I think I've already forgiven him.
He takes the blame. It's not like, well, this guy did this and, you know, he ran the wrong route. And I was like, dude, Lord, save me from the pick six.
Lord, save me
from the demon of the pick six.
I just love all the holiday time when real people are going through and Jameis is like, man, the Lord has to stop these pick sixes.
Jameis, please be a Jet next year. And I think he will be. I think the Jets are going bridge next year. The Giants are going to draft somebody. We'll get to if Daboll and the Giants deserve criticism for not drafting Bo Nix in 10 minutes. But let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Sonny and Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, good. Thanks. Listen, I don't think they deserve to be back, but I think they will be back for stability purposes. And I think they are going to give it the opportunity to draft and develop their own quarterback, which is obviously exciting. Whether they pick Ward or Sanders, and Tiki, you know this, man, you played, they must sit down this guy Neighbors and get a hold of him and discipline him. You bring a rookie quarterback in next year. You can't have this receiver saying and doing the things he's done this year. I mean, he's been targeted more times than a receiver, I heard, in the last 25 years, and he's still complaining he's not getting enough targets, and he's dropping the ball. Kiki, they got to fix that problem, and they got to get a leader in that locker room.
I think a couple of weeks ago he talked about not getting targets early in games.
Which he was targeted zero times in the first half of that game.
Which, by the way, is unacceptable.
Unacceptable. They only ran like 14 plays.
Yes.
But Sonny's also right. He's been targeted an ungodly amount of times.
Right. So he's look, I think there's a maturation process that goes that happens in any NFL locker room for any of these young players, particularly if you're in New York, because you say the littlest thing, it's going to get blown out of proportion and made stories about. And so I think Malik Nabers is slowly learning that, because you hear him walk it back every next day.
Right.
It's not like he doubles down on these things. He walks these things back. And that's a testament to Dabes and his conversations that he has with him. But I think he's going to be a great wide receiver. I really do.
Do you think anything he has said in this rookie season would be detrimental to a rookie quarterback?
No, because I think everything that he said is basically true.
Mm.
You just don't say it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
By the way, I'm looking at the target chart for wide receivers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So here are just the numbers. The guy who's been targeted the most in the NFL is CeeDee Lamb,
mm-hmm.
who's played all 11 games, or 12 games, yep. I should say, and he's been targeted 124 times. Garrett Wilson is right behind him at 118. He's also played every game. Then is Malik Nabers, who missed two games, and he's been targeted 116 times.
Wow.
So if he played those two games, he would clearly be ahead of both Wilson and Lamb. So even missing those 2 weeks, he's third in targets in the NFL. And obviously, if he plays those two games, all he needed to do is get targeted three times each game, and he's ahead of CeeDee Lamb for number one.
Yeah, I mean, the average will tell you. CeeDee Lamb is targeted 10.3 times a game. Garrett Wilson, 9.8. Malik Nabers, 11.6 targets per game. That's
right.
A lot of targets.
Right. And think about the other young wide receivers that came out in this draft and where they are on this target list. They're nowhere close. Marvin Harrison Jr., who's played every game, is at 78.
Yeah.
Rome Odunze, who's played every game, is at 76. So it shows you that I think the complaining about targeting was targeted
it was
to that specific half
specific
in that situation
against the Buccaneers. And look, he was right.
Yeah.
Right? You got to get him the ball. Don't overthink it. Don't even, back to the Jameis situation. Sometimes Dabes has got to just say, I'm drawing up a play. This ball is going to Malik Nabers. I don't care what covers they give you.
Right.
And it gets him going. It's a completion, hopefully. And it's not a negative play. That's why you target your best player. Get it in the hands of the guy who can make the biggest difference early and hopefully often. And then you never know what can happen after that. Because the last thing you need, especially in that Tampa game, which we called, is give up a 9-minute drive or whatever the heck it was, and then go 3-and-out.
Right.
That kills you.
Worst possible scenario. David's in Westchester. Hey, David.
Evan, you're like going to give me a heart attack here today with these reclamation resetting. We're not even into Christmas yet, and we've had like so many resets, so many reclamation projects over and over and over.
Right.
So how about we just get through the year, and you know, it does not bother me to actually win a couple games with Rodgers and just actually get to enjoy going to a game without having to trash and have another dumpster fire, and I have no issue coming back next year with a new coach and with Rodgers and then getting someone in the draft because we can't, it does not bother whoever we get. If you want to get Jameis Winston, we'll screw it up. We don't have to pay.
Funny. Your phone call was mostly take a chill pill, relax, let's get a couple of wins, let's be positive. And then you finish it by saying, we'll screw anything up anyway.
Right. It's like one of those situations where it's not like Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, where you get a reclamation project, per se, and Sam Darnold, and you get it right.
Right. David, respectfully, here's where I disagree with you. I'm going to enjoy, or at least attempt to enjoy, the rest of this football season, because football's very special. You know, unlike the NBA and baseball and hockey, there's a ton of games.
Mm-hmm.
You never really need to take it for granted. Once it's over for 6 months. In football, when the season's over, it's over for 9 months.
Yeah.
That's a long time without seeing your team.
Now, there's a lot to talk about because the Giants, or not the Giants, but the NFL in particular, for us it'll be the Giants and the Jets, they found ways to dominate the offseason.
Oh, no, there's tons to talk about, but at the end of the day, there's 9 months between seeing your favorite team play.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
I'm going to try to enjoy the final 5 weeks of the season, okay? I'm going to watch my team, and I will root for my team. So I'm with you on that. But put that aside for a second. Is there any scenario, and I said something different 2 weeks ago, but guess what? The world changes in 2 weeks, and I have to change too. Is there anything that can happen in the next 5 weeks that would actually make you, in a real-world thought, want to bring back Aaron Rodgers? Now, a few weeks ago, I said, yeah, finish strong, win 9 games, give us a little tease. I could see myself talking back into it.
Yeah.
That's not the situation anymore.
4 more years.
Now they're 3-9. Now we've continued to see him make losing plays week after week after week. And despite him just announcing that a docuseries is coming out about him on Netflix in 2 weeks, which I have no interest in watching, but God bless America, if you want to watch it, consume it during the holiday season, that's fine. I cannot see a scenario where it makes any sense bringing this guy back. And to not bore you by getting into the weeds, I'll say this to you briefly to our last caller and anyone else entertaining the idea of bringing this guy back. You are kicking the can down the road from a salary cap perspective.
Yeah.
Take your medicine, cut him, take your hit in 2025. If you bring him back in 2025, you're going to pay that bill in 2026 and 2027. So it's not as simple as, hey, he's the bridge quarterback, let him teach a young guy. The cap implications are horrific. And so what I need to do, much like the Nets ended up doing, was it didn't work, it failed, take your medicine and rip the Band-Aid off.
It's easier said than done.
It's easier said than done, but I'm telling you right now, and this is not emotional, this is well-balanced thought. I'm bringing up the salary cap, for God's sake. There's no good reason to bring back Aaron Rodgers.
And that's something you can lean on last night for. The Broncos are doing this and functioning. Russell Wilson's taking up $80 million on their salary cap this year.
Think about that. And you know what's smart about that? What's their hit next year and the year after that?
I have to look.
I think I know the answer.
All right.
Nothing. It's over. That's
because they took the lump at all this year.
Yes. So it's not just, hey, Rodgers is 41 or Aaron Rodgers has an ego. It's Pat McAfee. That's fine. You can put that to the side. It doesn't make financial sense to bring this man back. So let him play. Let the season end. And yeah, I mean, I'm sick of resets too. But that's in the best, kind of the best health of the organization.
And that's exactly why he's coming back.
Why?
Because it doesn't make any sense, and the Jets are always ass backwards. Now, you brought up your basketball team. Those guys wanted out of here. If Rodgers wants to come back, the Jets screw everything up. They're going to bring Rodgers back.
You make the decision for them. You can always make the decision for them.
Do they always make the right decision, though,
Jets? No, but look, obviously, that's a very Jet fanny kind of point that you just made. Yeah. It's a good one, which is that the Jets still screwed up. It's kind of like what our last caller said.
Yeah.
I can't obviously argue with that. Like, well, how am I supposed to argue with that? Mm-hmm. My franchise sucks. Right. We know that. So, touche, Lukey, touche.
Russell Wilson's dead money is actually spread over 2 years.
Oh.
53 this year, 32 next year.
So yeah. 80 over 2. Okay.
80 something over 2.
But you take your medicine as quickly as you can. And so if your argument to me is the Jets are stupid and they're going to do stupid things, okay. I don't trust Woody Johnson as far as I could throw. I don't even know who he's going to hire. So I do agree with that. But right now, as we sit here and we talk like human beings and we try to be intellectual about it, I'm telling you what I would do.
Yeah. And the good thing is you have a rookie. The only way it works is if you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. So it's not punitive to, like, your quarterback room is not way out of whack.
Well, I think that's what they would do. I think they would take the hit on Aaron Rodgers. They have Jordan Travis, who's a young quarterback they could take an eye on. And then there's the bridge. It could be Tyrod Taylor since he's already here. It could be a different veteran like a Jameis Winston who's probably going to price himself away from the Jets because he's only making $1 million this year. You're right. And then you take your medicine and you move on. Now, Sean Morash, we'll get back to your calls in a minute, but Sean Morash made a point 2 weeks ago I thought was crazy. But I entertained it because you're a good Giant fan, and you're always looking to spin however you want to spin.
Okay.
Your defense of Brian Daboll was he liked Jaden Daniels.
Uh-huh.
Remember that point you made?
Yes.
Okay. Said that. Hey, he liked him. Did you see Hard Knocks? He loved Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is good. Hence, Brian Daboll knows what he knows about quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's a distant yet interesting point.
Okay. I'll give you that. What do you say about passing on Bo Nix then?
I'm glad you brought this up, Evan. And I'm going to sound a lot like Tommy Lugauer as I spin because I've thought long and hard about this.
I'm sure you have.
I like to view the positives and the negatives because I was anti Bo Nix. He's gamer, all that. You know what Bo Nix, ironically, reminds me a lot of in his rookie year where people fell in love? Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones set the rookie record for touchdown passes in a game without an interception.
There's one big difference.
What's that?
Wins.
Okay. Yes.
Wins matter.
Bo Nix with a better head coach, with a better defense than the Giants had. Daniel Jones didn't have that. Bo Nix has a lot of what everybody fell in love with Daniel Jones the rookie year is what we're seeing out of Bo Nix. So to be determined, to be at a later date before I bash Brian Daboll for not taking a swing at Bo Nix.
You don't believe in Bo Nix?
I still don't. It's not that I don't. I see the positives. I should say that. I don't believe in Bo Nix taking the jump to be like some kind of top 10 quarterback.
But if you believe Brian Daboll is who Brian Daboll is, wouldn't he have been able to do this with Bo Nix?
Yes. However, it's not just about getting the most out of a guy and making him a functional, tough quarterback. The idea is the elite quarterbacks are the ones winning. I want to take a swing at a guy that I think has an elite ceiling. I don't think Bo Nix can accomplish that where Jaden Daniels can.
What's your thoughts on that, Teague?
On Bo Nix?
Yeah.
I mean,
do you think the Giants deserve some blame for passing on him?
No.
Because why?
I don't think he was universally loved. There was one coach who loved him, like loved him enough to move up and take him, and that was Sean Payton. But by the way, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Because a certain player fits what you want your quarterback to do, you take the guy. If you love him, you love him. And that's all that matters, as long as you believe in him. But I don't think that was universal. Bo Nix didn't like display all those traits. But the one thing he does do, which I'm actually starting to put more of a premium on as I watch quarterbacks in the league, is he's just a gamer, right? He has that, I'm going to figure out how to be successful. Josh Allen had that when he was younger. Now he threw a ton of interceptions and he wasn't great early, but there was just this gamer, I'm going to backyard football this thing if I have to. I'm going to find a way. Bo Nix has that. He's not prescribed. He's not, you know, I'm a cookie cutter. I'm going to look the right way. I'm going to behave the right way. My drops are going to be perfect. I'm going to throw the ball perfectly. Like, I think a lot of young quarterbacks come into the league and they think they have to be perfect.
Right.
When that's not what got them where they are. They got where they are because they were unique. And so you get to the league and all of a sudden you think you got to be Dan Marino. Just be yourself.
I think
Bo Nix is himself.
Yeah, the question is, what is he going to be? Because you brought up Sean Daniel Jones' first year. We had a statistically good year.
Yeah.
It was not a bad rookie year. The guy I think about who had a good rookie season, who now when I bring up his name, everybody laughs, you'll chuckle. He's not a starting quarterback. He's a loser. This guy was a Pro Bowler in his first year. His team won 10 games. He had a statistical year that will probably finish similar to Bo Nix at the end of the day. And the guy I'm talking about is Mac Jones. Mac Jones had a really solid rookie season. Is Bo Nix going to turn into Mac Jones where you just had this really good coach that got enough out of him to make the postseason?
No, I don't think so. Mac Jones is a completely different story because it was almost like Bill Belichick was trying to screw him over. That's what it felt like.
Even in the first year, they made the playoffs.
No. After the first year.
Oh, you're talking about, okay.
After that, I mean, he brings in these ridiculous coordinators.
Yeah.
Matt Patricia was his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was all Josh McDaniels that first year when he had success.
Right. And so when I think back on it, I'm like, what in the hell was Bill Belichick thinking? That you could just get by with having someone who's completely unqualified be your offensive coordinator?
But do you think, like, in all seriousness, because Mac Jones had a good first year.
It makes me question Bill Belichick, to be honest with
you. No, I think that's completely fair. It makes you question, he had a tough time replacing Josh McDaniels because he was there that one year, then he left to be a head coach. If Josh McDaniels had stuck around and it had continued, Mac Jones would have been still a quarterback of the Patriots.
I think you're right. And I think who knows where he goes. Like, he's gotten crushed this year because of his two starts in Trevor Lawrence's stead. But we forget, those two starts were against two of the best teams in the NFC. One was the Minnesota Vikings, and they almost won that game. They had a chance to throw an interception late in the game.
And then the Lions.
And they just got blitzed because the Lions are a machine, you know, having only lost one game in the season. So Mac Jones, like, he's not horrible. He feels like he's horrible, but he's actually not a horrible quarterback.
Right.
And he gave them a chance last week. After Trevor Lawrence got concussed on that Azeez Al-Shaair hit and almost brought him back.
Yeah.
So he's a good quarterback, probably just a backup, but, I mean, the Patriots did him wrong.
Yeah.
So it's hard to evaluate him.
All went downhill after that first year.
Yeah.
Charlie's in Middletown. How are you, Charlie?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Good.
Thanks for bringing back the fan in the afternoon from you two guys.
Appreciate
you. And your buddy. So you guys are talking about quarterbacks next year. Do you think if Jacksonville gets the first pick, they'd move Trevor Lawrence?
I don't know. We had this a brief conversation about this a week ago or so. And because I was saying, if I'm the Giants and you and it, I was assuming the Giants won too many games to draft in the top two or three. Why not take a shot at Trevor Lawrence? Like, it's a weird situation down there with Doug Peterson and Press Taylor. I know they support him, but it feels like they don't in a sense. And so, if they're ready to move off of Trevor Lawrence, because Doug Peterson didn't draft him,
right?
If they're ready to move off Trevor Lawrence, he's 26 years old. He's got all the physical talents that you want. I'd take him as a Giant.
I thought about this now.
If you can't draft one of those two quarterbacks that are up there.
Okay, that's the caveat.
Or the Jacksonville Jaguars want to draft one of those two quarterbacks.
But that's the caveat then. Because that if you're picking in the top two.
Not instead.
Believe it. Yes.
Not instead.
Okay.
But if Jacksonville drafts one of these quarterbacks, because Doug Peterson's like, I want to extend my job. Trent Baalke. Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson want to extend their stay down there in Jacksonville after a horrific season this year by drafting a young quarterback and saying, we're going to fix it, but we got to move off of Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And whoever, the Raiders end up worse and they take the other guy. And the Giants are sitting there, say they're at five. And
different story.
It's a different story.
I agree with you
there. You've got to find a solution.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If I am picking in the top two, and right now it feels like that's a lock if you're the Giants.
Yeah.
Because where are these wins coming from? Are they beating the Saints on Sunday?
Yeah, they have a tough schedule ahead.
And the Jaguars are playing the Raiders, and the Jaguars are playing the Jets, and the Titans are playing. Like, there's so much interlocking of the bad teams. And we mentioned this yesterday, but when you really map it out, as long as the Giants keep losing, they're picking in the top two.
They're the favorite right now at 30%.
And they should be. Now, 30% is not 90%, but nevertheless. And it's the NFL, right? Anything can happen. I think they're picking in the top two. And if they're picking in the top two, and this is how I'd feel if I'm the Jets in that situation,
I'm kind of on
I need
right
to
now.
Find my guy. I'm not screwing around with Trevor Lawrence.
I'm on Shador right now.
That's your guy?
Yeah.
You're big on Shador Sanders?
Just because he's got a game. He games. Right, he plays.
There's a lot of Giant fans that don't want Shador Sanders.
Because of what comes along with it.
The fan base is slanting, though.
Okay, can I ask you this? What comes along with it?
His father.
Is that what this is about?
Yeah.
This is about Deion? Is it about his attitude, his personality? What is it?
I'm
not watching Colorado every week. I'm not in this college football world.
It's not even he's a good coach in Colorado. It's not even about him being a coach.
So then what's the thing with Shador Sanders?
Deion taking over the narrative or taking over the...
Well, what's he going to do? Is he going to come in and take over the franchise?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I wouldn't put it past him.
Do you think that John Mara would be afraid of that?
No. Because ultimately, it's his business. Deion, you don't come to the building.
Seems simple to me.
If you're going
to
be disruptive, you're not allowed here.
Yeah.
Right? It's our job to nurture your kid to be a great player for our team. Leave us alone.
Let's go to Tony in Bayonne, New Jersey. What's up, Tony?
That's exactly what we want. Giants fans, stop with this. Deion's going to cause a commotion off the field. We want that. I want Deion here to call out Mara. This has been a losing franchise. It's been a losing culture. I'm a 40-year season ticket holder. I'm tired of it. I want to watch winning football on Sundays. Call this organization out. It's been failing. Look, I love Eli Manning. We all love Eli Manning. But the way they held on to him too long, he was a statue. He couldn't make throws. He lost his arm strength. That set us back years. Now they go and they do the same thing with Daniel Jones. They should have franchised Jones, signed Barkley. We could have moved on.
Hold on. A couple of things. I want to get to that original point. Why would you want? You can call out ownership. You just did, and that's fine. As a Giant fan, 40-year season ticket holder, whatever the hell you are, that's fine. Why would you want the guy you draft number one's dad to call out ownership? That sounds awful. That doesn't sound like a functioning, happy organization. That sounds like a disaster. So Tony inadvertently, he wants Shador Sanders, and I respect that, inadvertently made the opposite point. You want the Giants to draft a quarterback and then have the dad come out and say they're run by idiots?
Tiki will get this reference.
What?
You don't want a cheer mom. You don't want Deion Sanders to be the cheer mom here and calling out the cheer coach. If Deion's going to be here, be the marketer, be the figure that he is, the superstar, which he did for Colorado. That's big business. But you can't call out John Mara. That's a disaster.
Well, why can't you just be Archie? Like, what Archie Manning did is...
manipulated to where his son was going.
Okay. By the way, that's so funny you say that. That is a problem people have with Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders. It's the same thing Archie Manning did.
But Sean, here's the thing about that. If Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders are going to manipulate where they want to go, it really, our perspective is all going to be based on, well, where does he want to go?
Right.
If he's pushing himself away from the Giants, we're going to rip him. If he's pushing himself to the Giants, you're just a Manning.
Of course.
But then once that deal went down, Archie was, he wasn't a factor.
Of course.
Was Archie around Teak?
He was not. Didn't see him ever.
No, so that was Annie Apple. Was Eli Apple's mom. That was the one. That was the parent that ruined the Giants.
So then what's the issue with Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders?
Well, people don't like that Shedeur Sanders threw his offensive lineman under the bus earlier in the year. Like, he,
by the way, that's a fair critique.
Yeah. And
okay,
I'm just
that's
giving
a fair critique.
After that, he also went and he bought them all like nice, you know, watches or whatever, and now that's legal in college. Like, nobody's talking about the good stuff Shedeur Sanders has. All that negative stuff stands out.
Well, but if he called out his offensive line, I think you'd say, Teak, that'd be a problem as a rookie.
Right.
He comes out as a rookie and he says, Andrew Thomas is fat and overrated. We have a problem.
But he's not the rookie on Colorado. He is their leader, captain, and the veteran.
No, I'm not saying he's going to act the same way, but I can understand why that would be brought up as a criticism or at least a concern. In the case of his father, like, Deion Sanders coaches Colorado. Is he looking to be a package deal with his son? Is that a thing?
I think a lot of people assume that, but it doesn't appear to be.
No, but that's not the thing.
Deion also has another son that's going to play at Colorado next year, so he's going to probably stick around for him.
So yeah, then what's the concern?
I don't think there is there a real concern? No, not at all. It's just a narrative. It's a made-up one.
Yeah.
It's one that people want to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's not something to really be concerned about.
Just go get the best player in the draft. Is Shedeur Sanders the best quarterback in the draft, Teak?
I think he is.
Okay. Then go take him. Go make it happen. Doesn't matter if his father's Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. I also think it's overblown. Like, you really think Deion Sanders? I agree that he may push his son to where he wants to go. And we've seen that before. And it didn't start with Eli Manning. John Elway did it. This has been a part of NFL history for a very long time. And the truth is, what I just said about 2 minutes ago is the dead honest truth. Your opinion on it is based on if he wants to go to your team or not. When Peyton Manning ducked the New York Jets, what do you think I think of Peyton Manning? I don't like him.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he made it worse by suggesting Adam Gase.
Correct.
Coach.
Correct. Yes, he always made it worse, Teak. Yes. He added to it. But if the guy wants to be on your team and he's going to force his way, like let's say the Giants are picking 2 and Jacksonville's picking 1. And Shedeur Sanders and Deion are like, man, we can't go to Jacksonville. What the hell are we doing here? And they push their way to the Giants or another place. Then you're going to love it. Then you're going to say, great, I love Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I'm all in. Let's do it. We think about the clip with Mara from Hard Knocks about the Saquon and the jersey sales and the business. The Sanders family is massive business. Colorado was a dead program. Now they're the most popular
but
as far as social media.
Even in New York? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because it's a whole crew.
It's a culture, right?
It's the culture
they create.
Exactly.
Around themselves.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, if Shedeur is drafted, his jersey is going to be
blown through the roof? You're just going to see it.
What do you mean?
They're not going to let him not be seen.
Who?
Shedeur.
He's going to be everywhere.
Just like Deion is everywhere.
Gotcha.
Why is Deion everywhere? It feels organic.
Right.
It feels like you get all this content because it's like, oh, it's just Deion Sanders. We get this content. But if you were a fly on the wall behind the camera, behind the camera, you'd see tons of cameras around him. Like tons of every moment that we see, and it's like, oh, that's a viral moment. It's intentional.
Mm.
They intentionally make themselves like uber famous and popular.
So what you're trying to say is,
it's what influencers do. Like, all these guys do the same thing. Think of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
It's not like the Kardashians. But think
He's
of the
Kardashians of football.
Think about them.
Yeah.
Everything that they did, you saw.
Yeah.
And so they became this massive, larger-than-life brand. Deion Sanders is doing the same thing. And he's doing it with his kids as well.
If you guys draft Shedeur Sanders, which I would say is a 30% chance of happening, you said those are the odds of picking 1, there's then a 98% chance that Jet fans are going to grow to hate the New York Giants. If you're not there yet, we'll be there after the Sanders thing takes over New York. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes. Because actually,
and by the way, I think it'd be great for the Giants. It's not what, you know, this. I don't want to call him conservative because it's the wrong word. It makes it seem like I'm being political, but I'm not. But it's a conservative franchise, and to have someone stand out so much above the franchise,
very un-Giant like,
yeah. But it almost They almost need it.
Yeah. Giant-like has been stale for a decade now.
Yes.
Let's go.
They almost need it.
Yeah, it'll make the Giants. Here's the thing about the Giants, and I've said this to you before growing up as a Jet fan. I've never disliked the Giants, maybe for a short period of time, like very briefly, because, you know, some Giant fans got a little obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the Giants are like, they're the cool big brother. But
they're a classy, great organization.
Great organization. Even I feel that way as a Jet fan.
Yep.
But this whole description sounds like a heel turn.
Well, I mean, think about when the Giants, I mean, obviously it was Eli, but think about when the Giants, when Jeremy Shockey became a New York Giant.
Right.
Like, that was so not what the Giants have, not the kind of guy that they drafted. And he was amazing.
Yeah.
Same thing with Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
Not the kind of guy that you would necessarily associate with the Giants. He became larger than life.
Speaking of larger than life, I thought about this the other day. I apologize. I know it's awkward that I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Was Jeremy Shockey the largest?
Yes, he was.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, that's a prize. Congratulations to Jeremy Shockey.
Must be nice.
No, I lie. He was not.
He's number two?
Another tight end.
Another tight end.
Oh, everybody, yeah. Is he coaching in the NFL?
What is wrong with this guy?
He was on TV. He got caught in the background of a shot.
No, you're right.
A live shot on Fox.
You're right. I do remember that. That's a good call by you. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. Plus, Sean Morash, big-time Yankee fan, has always been confident about Juan Soto returning. But why this morning and now this afternoon is it over in his mind that Juan Soto is a guaranteed lock to remain with the New York Yankees? He'll share his evidence coming up. Plus, somebody on this staff has a major issue with Tommy Lugauer, and a grievance will be aired coming up at 3:30.